Be eager to have the fullest heart, to be the one who has the loudest voice. I'm not saying, you know, be obnoxious and start yelling. I'm talking about having a heart that just desires to sing to God. It doesn't even matter what everybody else thinks around me. What matters is that God's my Savior. He's so incredible. He's my Savior. He's the great God who's condescended and loved me. I can sing. Be the loudest voice. Have the fullest heart that desires to do those things. And even if you don't have the best voice, it would be great to hear your voice singing loud. And God is just as glorified with a terrible sounding voice as he is with one that's melodious and perfect. And God could be more glorified with the one that sounds terrible to our ears, while the other one sounds good, but is just a whitewashed wall. But let's seek to put our abilities of song to use for the glory of God, because he's called us to it. Now, not only has he commanded and encouraged us to do it, but God's word is filled with song. It's filled with songs. We don't only see that he calls us to do it, but we see that he's put people in God's word who sang songs to him. And they're there for our example, so we can follow. We can sing those same words. And they sang from hearts that reached out to God in deep longing for him. They were hearts full of sorrow at times, hearts full of longing, hearts full of praise, but they were filled always with the truth of God. Always. They were full of the magnificent wonders of the gospel and the realities of salvation and God's glory. And we see so much variety in that expression in God's word. And when he's honored in song by his people. I just want to go through a few here. Again, just a little bit of a sketch from God's word. A couple of examples. We see God's people Israel singing thankful praise to God with Moses for delivering them from their Egyptian enemies when God delivered them at the Red Sea. He divided the Red Sea. They passed through. And then the Egyptians sought to destroy them, to come after them. And God was their protector. And he brought the Red Sea on top of the Egyptians. In Exodus 15, verse 1, it says, "Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea.'" A great deliverance from God, and they don't sit quietly. They sing a song together to the praise of God's name. I'm not going to give specific examples. We just went through some of the Psalms, but just consider the book of Psalms. David and his fellow psalmists, which is really a collection of the greatest prayers set to song that we have in the Bible, they pour their hearts out to God in their need. They express sorrow and fear and confusion in the midst of their troubles. Psalms are very honest about that. Those songs are not always upbeat and feel great, but they remind themselves over and over again of the truth of God's ultimate and sovereign power and his great covenantal love for his people, and they praise God for it, and they remind themselves of it in the depth of their troubles. It's an example for us. You see Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke 1, singing praise to God for his many mercies, his attributes, his might, his power, his condescension, his loving mercy to his people. Let me read a portion of it for you. Mary's song of praise. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed.'" She had the Savior of the world that she was carrying inside her. And that she had the amazing ability to give birth to and raise. And she is praising God for having mercy on her and for condescending in love. "He who is mighty and has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." That was a song sung to God by Mary. And it's there as an example for us. We don't have the recorded songs of Paul and Silas in Philippi, but we know they were singing. And we know they were singing hymns. They were among the first of those in the New Testament church to suffer for Jesus' sake. And they were thrown in a jail cell. And what were they doing in their jail cell? Most of you know. They were singing hymns. Joyful, heartfelt singing to God in the midst of deep affliction. When you get a little bit of the context, we see the crowd joined in attacking Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Unless we think that singing is just for those people that are in joyful moods. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. These guys were singing the glory of God after they had been beaten and had been thrown and taken away from everything that was good, it seemed, down into the depths of a jail cell and locked up. Nothing seemed upbeat about that. But they poured their hearts out and sung the truth of God's word. They sang hymns for everyone there in the jail cell to hear. And then at the end of Scripture, we look at the glory to come in Revelation. The everlasting joys of heaven are laid before us, and we see many views of heaven. But there is an overwhelming focus on something that we as God's people, along with the angels, there's something that we're going to be doing in heaven that we won't be able to help doing. We're going to be singing God's praise. Revelation 15, verse 3. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" We're going to be in the eternal bliss of glory with God in heaven, and we're going to be able to express our hearts in joyful adoration to his name. It's striking that we know so little about what heaven exactly will be like, but there's a lot said about singing in glory to God. We know for a fact that we'll be singing. And we step back and we look at the wealth of these scriptural examples again. You know, we just did a few, but for the sake of time, we're just going to leave it at that. But where we see deep feeling, heartfelt expression of God's people singing to their God, we're left with a deep sense of the importance of singing from our hearts the truth of God. And singing with hearts that are exploding with the truth of God is certainly a theme that we can't ignore. It's there in the Old Testament, in the life of God's people, Israel. We see it traced out throughout Scripture in the Psalms, Song of Solomon, and all throughout the experience of Israel, even in the historical books. And we have in the New Testament Jesus coming, the singing that's done there that we considered, and then also the New Testament church as they sang together as the church of God. And then we look forward to glory, and we're going to be singing there. And that should make an impression on us. Singing, it's all throughout God's word, and it's our future. It should be something that is very present in our lives. And it's going to be great to be singing the praises of Jehovah one day. And we won't get tired of singing. And this pervasiveness of singing in the Bible should really make an impression on us. And I hope that he would create in us a desire to use the capacities that he's given to us, and that it will matter enough to us to do what matters a lot to God, to sing to him, because he's filled his word, the Bible, with it from beginning to end. So, that's the why singing to the Lord is so important. And I hope I've somewhat been able to carry your conscience a little bit. Now we're going to finish up with how we can develop hearts that love to sing to God. God can, of course, help us in many ways, but let's just consider these four. Continuously, first of all, fill your mind and heart with God's word. We just looked at a very short sample together of places in Scripture that are filled with exhortations and examples of singing to God. And while considerations of God's commands and other examples for us are important, the real secret of truly singing with our whole heart is having hearts and minds that are really saturated, that have been changed by God and then are saturated with the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word. Think about the best songs you've ever heard sung. The tunes grip us, no doubt. It's how God made us. And that, again, is something that is beautiful about how God's put us together, that we can really be gripped by the tunes. But the truth in the lyrics is combined with those tunes. And that's what makes our hearts soar when we sing them, because we know that they're true. We don't sing things that are meaningless. So many artists out there sing songs that are meaningless. Or they have great musical ability, but then they're singing gibberish. We don't have that as the people of God in hymns, in the songs we have. We have meat in these songs. We have hymns that are filled with reflections of God's word, and many times they're straight out of God's word. And the truth is that we sing, and we will more naturally sing what we love. Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And I would add to that, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth sings. We express in heartfelt song what means the most to us and what we hold most dear. And when we really mean what we're singing and can feel the truth of it, it will be far more natural for us to really belt it out, to really sing it with conviction, with everything we've got. And when we're here together to sing God's praises and to pour out our hearts to him, it will help us to be constantly filling up the reservoirs of our hearts with truth. That's why we hear God's word preached, we read God's word, we do it on our own. We want to be filling up the reservoirs of our hearts with truth. Truth about God, who he is, what he has done for us. The truth about what God's done through Jesus, the promises that he's made to us as his people, the promises that he's made to sinners who can come to him for salvation, about the love that he's so freely given to us. If we're constantly filling our minds with those kind of things, and reading God's word on our own and dwelling on it, and doing that with our families, and doing that in the context of the church, not wanting to miss a time when we can be in God's word, we're going to be filling up our hearts with that treasure that can pour forth in song to God. And we can obey his commands and his encouragements to us to sing when we can resonate with the truth. And then we can come alongside those hymn writers who have put them down for us, because God has given them an amazing ability to craft words to song so that we can come and sing it with them. And it can do good for our souls to really dwell and sing of that truth as they glory in the gospel, as they revel in the truth of his word, as it explodes with sentiments of love and trust and joy in God. As they lean on God in suffering and in hardship, and they thank him for who he is as creator, as savior, and as Lord and King. All those expressions are in so many hymns, and we will joy in them when we are always having those truths making an impression on us, so that when we open up that hymn, we'll go, yes, that's so true, because I've read that, and God's used that in my life. And he's made that promise to me, so when I sing, I can sing with my whole heart. Let me illustrate just what I mean a little bit. If we fill our hearts and minds with the truth that God is incredibly great and deserving of praise for his condescending kindness and grace, we'll be able to come alongside Charles Wesley when he says, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." We're going to wish we had 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. If we're really impressed with that truth, when we hear Charles Wesley's words, we're going to resonate with them, and we're going to sing them to God's glory. It's going to help us to sing heartily. If we're reading the Gospels about our Savior and what he's done and coming to earth, we'll be impressed over and over with the great sacrifice and love of our Savior, and we'll be able to sing number 22 in our supplemental, "My heart is filled with thankfulness." I opened it up here so I could just have it to access really quickly, but it says, "My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart." The author of this song did not make those things up and just say, wouldn't it be great if we actually had someone that actually did this thing for us? Christ has done those things for us. And when we're in his word, those things will resonate because we know they're true. When God meets with us by his Spirit, as we study his word, we can know this truth is for me, and our hearts will be filled with thankfulness as we sing and as we lend our voices to that praise to God. It's very helpful that we have little verses at the top of our songs. If you look in your Trinity hymnals, there's always a verse at the top. Why do we have that? Because we're not singing something that is just unique to that author, and so we're singing what he thinks. We're singing what God's word says. And we had that up there today when we just sang the song of praise to God. We have a verse up there that draws our minds to the truth of it. We sing a song out of the Trinity hymnal based on John 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And we can read that in God's word on our own or with our friends, and we can say, oh, that's so true. Jesus did lay down his life for his friends. So then when writer James Small comes out and says, "I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He bled, he died to save me. And not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me." That will mean so much to us. And we won't have any choice but to be filled with joy, because this is the truth for us as the people of God. I could go on and on with this. I'm not going to. But we will grow in our love for singing the truth of God when we feel and experience the truth of his word. When we do that individually, we do it together, but it's all focused on God's word, the truth that's contained in there, the meaningful expressions of heartfelt praise, adoration, thankfulness, and joy to God. So that's our first point. Second one, fill your minds with good music full of lyrics that are saturated in the truth of God. And we're going to move a little bit more quickly through these, but this is very closely tied to our first point. But fill your mind with good music full of lyrics that are saturated in the truth of God's word. I just want to say quickly on this point that there's a lot of music out there, and it would be a shame to spend all of our time listening to the music of our culture and our world. And don't misunderstand me, please. I'm not saying that there aren't good songs out there that secular artists have come up with. There are many good songs that even express very true things. I know of a pastor who used a secular song, "Cats in the Cradle," to illustrate a very important point about parenting. for the people of God. And there are many good things to take away from secular music. And I think we should be careful to find those things and think about listening to those kinds of songs. But what this is what I'm driving at in this point most particularly. Among all the songs and music that you have the opportunity to expose yourself to, and we have ample opportunity with our ability to download music now, take time to listen to the kind of music that magnifies God and magnifies the truth of His Word. And listening to artists who focus on truth is so important. And listening to those kind of artists is such a useful tool in helping us to develop a love for singing to the Lord. We have some amazing Christian artists who have expressed love towards God in different styles, but express the truth of God so well, and we can come alongside them and have them fill our hearts. We can read God's Word, and then when we're driving down the road, we can listen to some music, or wherever, if we're out, if we're doing some jobs or whatever, but we can listen to music that is magnifying God. Take that opportunity. Take a little more time to do that than you have been, maybe. And just think, what is predominant in your life? What's predominant as far as the music you listen to? Because it can say a lot about who we are, the kind of music that we like to listen to. Let's not fill it with junk. Let's fill it with God's Word. Again, remembering, not all secular music is junk. But it could be very easy for us to enjoy a beat and really not think about the impressions that the lyrics oftentimes are having on us when they're really not glorifying to God at all. I've had many discussions about this. I've talked to you, Pastor Jim, about this before, how we, you know, songs just come back to us and just, I didn't even know it was in there. But that's the way God put us together, that song does that for us in our minds. So let's use the opportunity to focus on songs that magnify our God and bring glory to God and will do good for our souls. Third thing, pray that God would give you a heart and a determination to sing to His glory. Along with everything else, we need to obey God. We need His help if we're going to be able to follow after Him as we should. We will need to pray if we're going to have hearts that want to sing to God. Philippians 4:6, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Everything. And that includes this important subject. We're not able to generate the right desires in ourselves, give ourselves the right heart, have the discipline to be in God's Word the way that we need to be. We need these things from God and ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us and help us to do these things. Pray that for yourself. Pray that for others. Pray that for your children. Pray that for all the people that you come to church with. Pray that we will all have hearts when we come again to worship God in the morning worship this morning and when we come in the evening worship and every week we come back. But when we come to sing, pray for your brethren. We seek to do that when we come to worship, that God would come and meet with us and be with us in our hearts, but pray that for each other so that when we meet with God, we will be really meeting with God because our hearts are filled with what we're singing. We're not just singing what our pastor is telling us we should sing. Okay, well. No, we can open it up and go, yes, yes, and then it explodes from our hearts because we can come alongside these men who have written these songs that reflect God's Word to us. We were considering Paul and Silas. It would be great if we could be like Paul and Silas. I'm not hoping that we all go get into a jail cell. I'm hoping, though, that we could have worship services that somewhat reflect what it would have sounded like for Paul and Silas to be singing in the midst of that jail cell. I have a hard time believing that they were just kind of mumbling. That's the hymns to God. Hopefully no one else will notice that I'm singing. These guys were so filled that they just couldn't be told no, and they're in a jail cell where they've been told, be quiet, and they just can't be quiet. Pray that God would give us hearts and give us voices that are robust for His glory. Last point. Obey God by singing heartily to Him in worship. And that's just an encouragement that really kind of just brings it together what I've been saying the whole time. And remember that it's one thing to sing. It is another thing to sing to the Lord. If you don't want to sing very often, you know, who's going to make you sing any whatever songs? What I think is clear from God's word is that we should sing to the Lord. So if you don't do any other kind of singing, if it's really not your thing, make your thing that I'm going to sing to the Lord to the best of my ability, because He tells me it's important and He's made me to be able to respond this way, and it's a benefit for me and how He's put me together. So I'm going to sing to the Lord. And if we seek to develop a heart like that, I think that it will flow very naturally for us to be singing heartily to the Lord. I hope that there is a reflection to the people that are around us when we come in here on Sunday mornings. If we have visitors in here, think about what your singing tells them about the Jesus you serve and about your heart for Jesus. If they could just take that apart, they're sitting next to you or they're sitting behind you. Wow. Wouldn't you want them to say, wow, I think that person really loves God because they're really singing to the Lord. I hope that that's the way it is for all of us. And I would encourage you, if there's any part of you that feels like that's not quite how it is for me, pray that God would give you that. God loves to give good gifts to His children. And if you asked Him to do that for you, He would love to, because He's promised you in His word. We are first and foremost followers of Jesus, and if we apprise Him above all others, our singing should reflect hearts that really believe that. C.S. Lewis points out that men spontaneously praise whatever they value and spontaneously urge others to join them in praising it. And I hope that you and I here this morning will develop hearts and lives that value Christ over everything else, and that we'll spontaneously praise Christ over everything else, and that we will, in light of that, urge both ourselves and urge others, like C.S. Lewis says, to join them in praising it. Ask others to come alongside you and praise and glorify God. We have the opportunity to do that every single week. And guess what? We all, who have been saved by the mercy and power of God, we all have that capacity within us, and we all have that desire within us to sing praise to God, so we can come alongside each other and encourage each other to praise what we value and join together in praising and honoring God. That's all I have. Does anybody have any closing questions or thoughts or considerations? It's a big topic, but it's also a very important one, and I hope that this has at least given us a simple desire to follow after God. Yes, Pastor Ron. Yeah. And it's the clinging to the truth of God's word that give us that deep-seated joy. Because there's a difference between just happiness and joy. Because a real joy inside us it really should, in all of our experience, we should have a deep-seated joy that is an undertone to any experience that we're having in life. So even when we're struggling with those very deep things, the psalmist never pretends that those things aren't there. He actually pours out his heart, and that's where it's that we're singing the truth back to God. And we're pouring out our hearts to Him and then reminding ourselves that even though I'm in dark struggle, the Lord is with me, and preaching to ourselves the truth of God's word. And that's where I think joy is important for the Christian, that deep-seated joy that is not to be mixed up with happiness, that can, you know, we're not going to just always be happy-go-lucky, but there's going to be deep resonance with the truth of God's word in the midst of those struggles. Any other questions, thoughts? Well, we're a little bit over time, so let's pray and ask God to help us with these things. Father, thank you for creating us in your image. Thank you for the gift of song that you've given to us, and music. We pray, Lord, that we would be good stewards of how you've made us in that way. Lord, give us hearts to sing to you. In the depths of despair, may we sing to you. In the height of joy and happiness, may we sing to you. In confusion, may we sing to you. May we always remember your truth. And may your word have such a deep impact then on our hearts that we will rejoice in being able to sing the truths of your word back to you in praise to your name. Please be with us and help us in these things, even as we go to worship now, to hear your word opened up, and as we get a chance to sing and a chance to pray again and to read your word. Lord, be with us in every part. May it be an honor and a glory to your name. Please meet with us, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.